We come to the Word of God now and the reading of it, and then the expounding of it, in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and verses 30 through 50. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through verse 50. And of course, we'll begin in verse 30 of Mark chapter 9. Beloved, hear now the Word of the living and true God. So you must give your attention to His Word, for these words are inerrant and infallible. That is, they cannot err and they do not err. So again, give your attention to them. From there they went out and began to go through Galilee, and He did not want anyone to know about it. For He was teaching His disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And when He has been killed, He will rise 3 days later." But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask Him. They came to Capernaum, and when He was in the house, He began to question them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, He called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, He set him before them, and taking him in His arms, He said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in My name receives Me, and whoever receives Me does not receive Me, but him who sent Me." John said to Him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in Your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in My name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of Me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if, with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." And that is the Word of God. Well, Jesus expounds upon and tells the disciples that Christ must suffer. The Son of Man must suffer. He must suffer and be killed. But they did not understand this, even though He had told them already before. Even when He was rebuked by Peter, you remember. Even when He said He must die and rise from the dead 3 days later. And on the way to Capernaum, the disciples were discussing which of them was the greatest. How, we would say, of course, how prideful of them to be discussing that, and yet we often fall into the same sin of pride. And Jesus, who is the God-man, knew what they were discussing, but waited until they got to Capernaum to bring it up, and they did not want to tell Him what they were discussing. But they waited until they got there. Excuse me, they didn't want to tell the Lord what they had been saying, their thoughts and their actions. And beloved, if there's anything that you think or say or do that you do not want to communicate to the Lord God, that's called sin. Our lives are not to be about being first, about being prideful, and Jesus brings it up, even though they hadn't told Him. He knew exactly what they were discussing, and He directs them in verse 35. Anyone wants to be first, He shall be last of all and servant of all. But our lives are not to be about being first or being prideful or being the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. And we are wholly undeserving of anything we have received from Him or in Him. And our lives ought to be then focused, as Jesus says, on serving one another and serving Christ. And then the account John gives of trying to stop someone from doing good, casting out the demon. And Jesus rebukes him, for those who are not against us are for us. Do you not understand that, John? If they're trying to do something good, why would you stop them? And then another instruction concerning children. Do not cause our little children to stumble, beloved. Here it says those children who have believed, in the name of the Son of God, are saved. Do not cause them to stumble, but often speaking to them the word and reminding them of the gospel at every opportunity. Remember your vows, beloved, that you took for each family who has had children baptized, that you promised to assist the parents in raising their children and helping them to do that. And you do that mostly through the word that you speak to them and rebuking them of their sin and reminding them that they need to come to Jesus or they will be they find themselves, as they are warned here, in hell. And then instruction concerning some indulgences that we heard about last Lord's Day. We know from the Matthew's Gospel that this has to do primarily with adultery, but it really does, the seventh commandment, do not commit adultery, but it really does here seem more general, that is, of all sin. We must cast sin forth and out from us. And so, beloved, great warnings here from Christ. Let us love Him and take up the humility to serve one another, lest we find ourselves with the thrice repeated phrase that we find in our passage, though it might have been deleted by some of your translations. Where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's the warning here. That we would repent of our sins lest we be found to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire where the worm does not die, which eats away at your flesh for all eternity, and the fire is not quenched, which you are continually burned for all eternity, and your body is destroyed forever and ever, which does not make any sense to us. And yet, that is what the pains of hell are, as he talks about here. So let us repent and lest that happen to us. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Your word of rebuking us, of often trying to serve ourselves. We see this most often in our families and our marriages. And we often see this in our desires of what we want and our coveting. We see it, Father, daily in our lives, that we really want to be the greatest instead of being those who are, maybe we could say, the greatest at exalting you. May we strive after that, being the best exalters and praise, giving praise to you always for what your Son has done. He is the greatest. And there is absolutely no room for pride or boasting in ourselves, but only boasting, as Galatians says, boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. That all of our boasting would be a boasting in Jesus. For there is nothing good, nothing that we've received, nothing of blessing or any prosperity or anything that is good that has not come from the blessing that comes from being in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we ask that you would put to death our pride in ourselves and in others that are not you or your Son. And, Father, anything that we have done righteously, we must attribute to the work of the Spirit of Christ in us. And so, again, there's no room or discussion for greatness amongst us, unless it be of your Son. And Father, we think of our children. As they're mentioned in this passage, we pray that you would change their hearts and bring them out of death and grant them life eternal. By your Holy Spirit, we pray that for each one, and yet many we know have turned from you and rebelled against you. And Father, we ask that you would cause us to be continually praying for them. For you alone are the builder of the house. But we thank you that you are over the house of God. And Father, we're thankful that you send your Spirit. And we have no lack of hope that many will believe and that all your elect will come unto your Son. What great comfort that is. We pray that they would be included in there. The children, our children, would be included in that. And that those children who believe, we pray that we would be no stumbling block to them. Even in our sin, even in our times of parenting badly, when we fall into our sin and do great evils. Father, we pray that we would be a repentant people, or repentant parents, repentant elders, and that our children would see that. And we would demonstrate it before them. Repent before them and before you, our Maker. And they would repent themselves, following our example. Father, we pray for our government as you call us to pray for all our rulers and authority. We ask that you would save them. We pray for the coming election that you would grant those you have decreed to be in office. And we know that will happen because you are the sovereign God. We pray that it would not be for our judgment, and yet we acknowledge ourselves as we see the great wickedness, as we'll talk about in detail this morning in the Seventh Commandment sermon. Father, we see the wickedness around us. Now, some of that wickedness we take part in, sadly. And Father, we ask that you would put those sins to death. But Father, we see also in our culture heinous sins. Sins that were not there a decade ago, sins that were not there many decades ago, but are there now, and freely being partaken in and celebrated. And yet when they know the truth of God, they suppress that knowledge and they do exactly what your law forbids. And we have seen even in the last day judgments upon people who have, and upon our culture and our nation, because of their sin. And yet, Father, if there be any believers in that, we, and families of believers, Father, we pray for them, that you would save them, and you would cause them to remember that all things are done for your glory, and for their good. And so, Father, we pray that you would grow them in sanctification. Or if they're unbelieving, that you would turn them unto yourself. We pray for the unbelievers who have experienced the great pain and bloodshed, even the bombing and then the stabbing that happened yesterday. Father, we ask that you would cause them to see their sin and the judgments that they received as only warnings. Little warnings of the great judgment to come on the day of the Lord. Father, may they turn from their sins unto you, lest they come under that great judgment. And they know the pain of the worm not dying and the fire not quenched. And may that be a warning to us as well. Father, we pray also for the bodies of our congregation who are sick, or who are constantly struggling in their bodies. Father, strengthen them. Strengthen them to love you and to fear you and to trust you. That you are the God who heals perfectly and you will give us new glorified bodies. An answer to your prayer, at least the final answer, will be that and be with you forever. Father, hear our prayers. We do pray in the name of Jesus, not because we just want to pray the name, but knowing that He is our Savior and Lord, and He is our High Priest who pleads for us. We pray in His name, who is perfect and righteous, whose name is Jesus. And so hear us, Father, we pray in His name. Amen.